First of all, I want to thank each and every one of you for all the love.
On Heat, I'm Wes Goldberg. Thanks for listening on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or however you listen to the show. And if you don't know about the new podcast app, Himalaya, I suggest that you download it and check it out. What they do is really cool. It's in an ever-expanding podcast universe. Himalaya provides personally curated playlists, and they're always updating the app with new features. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Heat. In a minute here, I'm going to be joined by Anthony Chang, who covers the Heat for the Miami Herald. He's been on the show before, and he was in the building for Chris Bosh's retirement ceremony. He's going to give us the inside look on the ceremony that was moving, interesting, and Chris Bosh nails his speech, and we're going to talk about all of that next. But first, let's talk about Wyze. Wyze is the indoor camera that does it all. Wyze is packed with premium features that allows you to see everything from anywhere for just $20. Check on your home anytime with the Wyze app live stream in 1080p, full HD, images so clear that you won't miss a thing. Wyze's mission is to create amazing smart home products that are available and affordable to everyone. Best of all, Wyze provides free rolling 14-day cloud storage without any subscription, and it's just $20 a camera. Easily check in on your kids or monitor your home in the middle of the workday. Put a camera in your newborn's room. For whatever reason that you need it, Wyze can make you wiser. And for just $10 more, Wyze Cam Pan gives you 360-degree coverage in under 3 seconds. Control your room with PanScan, set the camera's patrol route with up to 4 custom waypoints. The camera automatically detects tags and tracks motion within its field of view. Life moves fast, your camera should too. Plus, Wyze works with Alexa and is accessible on your mobile phone from anywhere. Go to wyze.com/locked to get the guaranteed lowest price. That's wyze.com, wyze.com/locked. Anthony Chang joins me next. I'm here now with Anthony Chang of the Miami Herald. Anthony, you were at the game Tuesday night, and it was an interesting game because not only were there playoff implications at stake, but the emotion of the Chris Bosh retirement ceremony was in the air. What was the atmosphere like?
It was, it was a pretty big game, like you mentioned, but I feel like a lot of the people there were just there for Chris Bosh. You know, like it was and I mentioned this to a few people over the past 24 hours. Yes, yesterday's game was huge. Yes, it could cost the Heat a playoff berth, but I think down the road, long term, last night's going to be remembered for Chris Bosh's retirement ceremony. I mean, it's not going to be remembered for, oh, the Heat missed the playoffs and they missed getting the 8th seed because of this game. Like, I think, you know, 5-10 years on the road, it's going to be remembered for Chris Bosh's jersey retirement. And it was electric. I mean, halftime was really cool.
I just want to welcome Chris Bosh. Forever and for always, a lifer of the Miami Heat. Let's take a look and raise the banner for Chris Bosh to never be taken down, number one.
Some really good speeches from Pat Riley and Dwayne Wade, and obviously Chris Bosh killed it. Like, it was everything. Like, I feel like he had high expectations going into it. Just because he's such a, you know, he's so good with words and he has such a good personality. And I feel like he exceeded it, like from addressing the crowd in Spanish to like one-liners with Dwayne to his, you know, yelling to the crowd one last time at the end of his speech. Like, it was a really, really cool night with a lot of cool moments. You know, it just stinks that the Heat lost. It kind of didn't ruin the night, but it kind of put a damper on it. But other than that, I mean, it went about as well as the organization, I feel like, as Chris could have hoped.
I want to get into the speech a little bit more, because you're right, it was absolutely amazing. I mean, it's not often that somebody can out-speech Pat Riley, you know, and he came away that night with the better speech, which is incredible. But it really did seem like a big deal. Like, this, the retirement ceremonies, when you put the jersey in the rafters, like we've seen in them across the league, they're usually, there's a lot of hoopla, there's a lot of showmanship, but this one just seemed more, I don't know, important, more intimate almost. And I wanted to get your perspective on that, and why now? Why did they decide to do that on March 26th? What was so important about getting that done right now at this part of the season?
Well, the funny backstory is I asked Chris this when I got the chance to talk with him a couple weeks ago, and I said, why, you know, how did this come to be? And it's funny because Chris actually instigated the whole thing. Like, he, you know, when the Heat waived Chris Bosh in 2017 in July, you know, the Heat came out with a statement, and, you know, Pat called Chris one of the greatest players ever in the history of the franchise and basically said, you know, the number one jersey will never be worn again by another Heat player, alluding to the fact that Chris's jersey will at some point be retired. And Chris Bosh said that one day he just went to Pat and said, look, I remember you said this, is that still a possibility? And, you know, the team and Chris had dialogue about it. They wanted to make sure, I think, that he was truly retired and he wasn't going to come back and play. And I think eventually they were like, yeah, let's do it. Like, let's if you're up for it, we're up for it. It's the right thing to do. So I thought that was interesting. Like, just the fact that, you know, it's not often that a player goes to the organization and says, okay, I'm ready. Like, I'm ready for my jersey to be retired. But it kind of made sense just because, nobody really knew where Chris was mentally, physically, if he was still planning to, you know, wanting to play again, you know, what his relationship was with the organization. But I think this one was important because of all that. Like, just 3 years ago, Chris and the Heat weren't on the same page, and there was some tension between the two parties. But I think this represented not only that the fences have been mended between the two, but also just like that Chris is moving to the next phase of his life. Like, he's done with basketball, and this was kind of closing the chapter. I think that's why it meant so much for Chris. And you saw it, like you mentioned, like it was evident that it really meant something to him.
You're talking there about a little about how things have been mended between the organization and Chris Bosh. Has he, what else have you seen from him that gives you that impression?
Well, I think it started in December. We were all not surprised, but we were caught off guard when we saw Chris not only at a Heat game, like it was the first time he's been at a Heat game at American Airlines Arena. It was in December, and
when he got the jersey from Wade? Was it like around that time?
It was one of those games. He went to like five in a row, and it was basically because, from what I was told, he had left to live in LA, and I think now is like his permanent home is in Austin as of now, Austin, Texas. But he had left because he didn't want to be around Miami. I kind of gave him reminders of what was and some bad moments, and he just wanted to get away. But he made the decision to spend some of the holidays in his Miami Beach home, which he never sold. And while he was here, he said, I want to go to some Heat games. And I think that was a big step for him. And you saw him like behind the scenes, you know, while we were trying to do post-game interviews, you saw Chris talking to players in the locker room. You saw him laughing and joking with Pat Riley in front of the locker room. Like, he wasn't just at the game, he was around. And even there was a practice during that time where he was there helping helping players go through drills and kind of doing one-on-one work with Bam Adebayo. So I think that whole time was just, at that point we didn't know his jersey was going to be retired. But I think we probably should have known it was coming soon, just because it just showed you like where things were and how different things were compared to even a year and a half ago.
And that middle of December kind of holiday period was really when the Heat started to make that first playoff push, right? Because it had been such a disappointing season before that. Point Justice was born, that whole thing. Do you think Bosh had anything to do with that? A percentage to do with maybe that run there?
It's hard to say. I don't think he had a role in it, but it just added to the feel good, I think, of that time, you know, like it was just another positive storyline for the team with the winning that was happening during that time. Like, I definitely wrote a story or two on it. Just players just being just happy. Like, guys were just happy that Chris was around, like his former teammates, whether it was Hassan, you know, at that time, Tyler Johnson, Dwayne Wade, obviously, Josh, even the young guys. I mean, Josh Richardson and Justice look up to Chris a lot. And they, you know, Josh has said it, like, over the past few years, he still talks to Chris a lot, just about his game, where he can get better. Like, he still looks at Chris as a mentor. So just having him around is, I think, lifted the guy's spirits a little bit during that time.
I want to go back to the speech, because do you think he had a speechwriter for that?
No. I never covered Chris. I don't know him super, super well. I got on the beat after he left. But just talking to him for the story I wrote, and just in, like, over the past few weeks, kind of getting to know a little bit about him on a personal level, I don't think so. Like, he's just quick-witted. He's really good with words. He's a great personality. He's funny. He's interesting. Like, that's just the way that I think he wrote it. Obviously, like, you could see he was looking down at notes. But I think that was awesome.
I mean, as a writer, I'm sure you can also appreciate, like, it was a perfectly laid out 3-part speech. Yeah. He brought it all back around with the rebounding theme. I mean, like, I was kind of like, damn, I kind of feel bad. Like, Bosch is just sort of writing this, and like, this is kind of what, you know what I mean? I was like, no, this is what I do. And I was like, I'm kind of jealous of his writing ability. No,
it was like the structure. Like, that's what I was saying. Like, it was structured perfectly. Like, he had a beginning, a middle, an ending. He tied all together. Like, he had a planned ending. He had, like, he even, like, it was subtle, but he even brought in Udonis into the picture.
Here's the thing about me. I've always been a rebounder, right? And Udonis Haslam can attest to that.
Because Udonis was sitting there with Dwayne and Eric Spoelstra. Those are the kind of the representatives of the current team that were sitting, you know, closer to where Chris was speaking. And obviously he mentioned Dwayne and he mentioned Spo, but he brought in Udonis by saying, you know, I'm a rebounder, and Udonis can attest to that. Like, he made sure to mention everyone that was there sitting, you know, by him. So I thought that was pretty cool. Like, he, you could tell, like, he was ready to go. And he had everything, like, pretty much set as far as his speech. Like, he had been working on that for a while.
And he's working the crowd. I mean, it was, I tweeted, I was like, Chris Bosh, 2020. Like, it was that impressive. It was that impressive. He could make a run. Why not?
Yeah. He's a really good public speaker. And just, like, his tone and, like, his, like, just the way he would say things, like, to make it even funnier.
A lot of people don't know this, but Pat first met me when I was a scrawny 19-year-old kid fresh out of Hutchins, Texas. And unfortunately for him, he had the 5th pick, and I went at 4, so he had to settle for this kid named D-Wade. And D, I gotta tell you, man, you know, sorry about beating you to this jersey retirement thing. I had to beat you at something, dude. I'm gonna just keep it serious.
He's a good speaker. Like, you could see, I don't know, honestly, you know, I'm sure other great speeches have been given by players who have had their jersey retired, and, you know, with the Heat, but that has to be number one, I would say.
Oh,
like, that was that. You know, that's going to be hard to top. You know,
I don't know. Can he top it in the Hall of Fame speech? He's very confident that he's going to the Hall of Fame.
I think he will.
I think so, too. I think so, too. But that's going to be, like, can he beat his own speech?
That's going to be tough. He had high expectations going into yesterday.
Yeah.
And he exceeded them somehow. So I wouldn't put it past him.
What was the crowd like when he started speaking Spanish?
Calle Ocho. ¿Cómo estás? A mis hermanos y hermanos latinoamericanos.
Oh, they loved it. I mean, it's, you know, it's South Florida. People eat that stuff up. And I think that's something that people really loved about Chris. Like, even from the start, like, from that big celebration when the big three was put together, like, Chris was yelling stuff in Spanish. And he really embraced, like, the culture down here. And I think that's what made him, like, so lovable as far as, like, locally. You know, you would see him trying to learn Spanish. Dwayne Wade mentioned that he watched Chris learn Spanish through Rosetta Stone, you know, while he was his teammate. Like, just that effort, just just the way he kind of took Miami in for what it was. And you saw it last night with him. You know, it was pretty impressive, his Spanish. He said full sentences in pretty good Spanish. So that was pretty cool.
Good conjugation.
Yeah, no, not. I mean, that's not easy to do on the spot. I'll tell you right now. I speak Spanish, but that's not easy. That's for sure.
I took, I don't know, 6-7 years of Spanish classes between high school and college. And look, I grew up in Broward County. You know, Jewish white guy from Broward County. But I've picked up Spanish by just living in South Florida a little bit. But still, like, but, you know, it's not part of my heritage necessarily. It's just sort of – it's more part of my upbringing more than anything. But when he started speaking Spanish, I was just like – that meant something to me. I was like, that's a real connection to South Florida. So I thought it was really cool. Was there another moment that got the crowd going the most? And I'm asking you – you were there. You were right there. You were in the atmosphere. But there was the big roar at the end. But was there another moment that really got the crowd going?
I think when he – when he kind of gave the anecdote of him thanking the crowd for helping him get through what he went through, you know, with all the letters he received from the Heat.
As everybody knows, back in 2015, I had a health scare. Days in the hospital, tubes right here in my chest. I could barely walk. And then one day, on my road to recovery, the Heat organization sent piles and piles of letters from all of you guys, Heat Nation, thousands. I want you to know that I read those letters. Those letters pushed me to get back on this court. Those letters inspired me to get back up and walk across the room when I didn't have the energy to do it, when I didn't think I could do it. You guys inspired me too.
I think people really, like, he just really made an effort to connect to everybody that was in that arena. You know, he even mentioned, like, janitors and the employees behind the scenes, like, one by one. Just he really, I feel like the best thing he did was he made it a point to connect to everybody who was there watching that speech. And that is hard to do. And one of the ways he did it was by giving that story of, you know, how the fans helped him with their support through those tough times he went through with the blood clot issues. And I think people really enjoyed that.
Did you get, from your point of view, were you able to see how much Eric Spoelstra was enjoying that? Because on TV, Spo went from stressed out coach of a team trying to make the playoffs to little kid just enjoying this moment.
I think you could just tell Spoelstra, Eric loves Chris Bosh. Not only because, you know, as we know, Spo has his Spoisms, and he loves players who sacrifice things and who, like, kind of give themselves up for the team. And that's what Chris was. Like, Spo says it all the time. Like, I use Chris in so many stories when I'm talking to young players and my teams about just he was an all-star. I mean, he still was an all-star, but he was averaging 20-something points a game. And then he comes, you know, he gave that up to be the third wheel on a Heat team that included LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. Like, that, I think Spoelstra really loves Chris for that. And also, he said a funny story before the game. Eric was reminiscing on his moments with Chris, and he said, I think it has to have been 2012, because that's when the Heat were down 2-1 to the Pacers in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That after that 2-1, you know, when the Heat went down 2-1 in Indiana, I think that was the game Dwayne kind of went at Spo in front of the cameras. After the game, Eric was kind of decompressing in his hotel room, getting ready to watch film, and hears a knock on the door, and Chris walks in with a couple beers and says, "Hey, you know, coach, how are you doing? Let's take a break a little bit. Let's talk over some beers. We could figure out a solution tomorrow. Like, you know, let's kind of relax a little bit. We could sleep on it." And you know, Eric really, he remembers that, and he said it was kind of one of his coolest moments as a coach. Because that's unique. You know, you often don't hear players knocking on a coach's door at 2 a.m. with beers in their hand. But that's the kind of guy Chris was. So it kind of paints a picture at not only the player, but the person, you know, he was and why people loved him.
And that might be the last beer Eric Spoelstra has had. Right? I don't know. He does seem really stressed out like all the time. But you're right. Like when he talks about Chris or Dwayne Wade, I mean, and I'm sure you've seen this 100 times, but even in the couple times that I've been in Miami for games, like he's asked about Dwayne Wade, he just starts smiling again. Like there is something about these guys that just really get to him.
They're heat lifers. They're heat lifers, Wes.
Heat lifers. Yeah.
He loves, I mean, Udonis and Dwayne, I mean, that's like on another level. Like he says it all the time. Like those are the two players that have pictures of in my office, he says, are Udonis Haslem and Dwayne Wade. I mean, that's kind of like, you know, when those guys go, whether – I know Dwayne is obviously ending his career this season and Udonis is still in question, but that's going to be tough for Eric. Yeah. I'm sure he'll be emotional about that. And then Chris too, like they just went through so much together. And even with LeBron, like they went through so many ups and downs together, so much stuff behind the scenes that we don't even know half of, I'm sure. That just kind of made them bond. And yeah, there was some, yeah, I'm sure there was some tension between at moments, which is usual. But, you know, when they all get together, even LeBron, I'm sure they all appreciate each other very much.
What was the team like in the locker room afterwards? You know, I know they lost the game. I'm sure they were frustrated about it. But again, just was there the adrenaline of up from the retirement ceremony? Was that still kind of pulsing through things?
Nah, I mean, I think guys were mostly disappointed.
Okay.
Because it was a big game. You know, they all said, you know, I wish we could have won to kind of complete the night, you know, for Chris. Mm. But it just didn't happen. I think they were all, yeah, they didn't lose sight of like kind of how meaningful that halftime moment was. But I think they were all, you know, minutes after the end of the game, they were just disappointed about letting that opportunity get away, because that was, you know, it doesn't eliminate the Heat from the playoffs. They're still in it, but that was a painful loss for them.
I know Bosch had that press conference too after the ceremony. Any takeaways from that?
I actually was not there. I was because I did the pregame ceremony,
mm-hmm.
but David Wilson was there at the halftime press conference because I covered the rest of the game.
So I had a question about this. So they actually had the press conference while the third quarter was starting?
Yeah, so they had a press conference before the game at like 6:10,
okay.
where Chris spoke for like 15-20 minutes. And then immediately after the halftime ceremony, they brought Chris in to speak for like another 10 minutes. And it was basically ran into the first few minutes of the third quarter. So it was a busy night for us media folk last night, for sure.
What do you think's next for Chris Bosh? Because obviously he could go into politics, he could go into, I don't know if he's interested in that, but he's got so many interests. And then obviously there's the whole broadcasting angle. Like that, if anything, that speech was a great tryout for NBC, TNT, ESPN, ABC. Whoever wants to hire him, all they've got to do is look at that speech, because he was awesome, like we were talking about. Do you think that the broadcasting is where he goes next? Or you were talking about maybe he's around the team a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, you just walk into an interview with TNT and has put in that tape and he just walks out. Like that's all he needs to do. But I think that's there for them if he wants it. You know, I asked him if working in basketball still, in, you know, still appeals to him, and he said it does. Like he said, he made it clear he does not want to coach.
Mm.
He's not looking to coach, but front office job intrigues him. He still feels like he has a lot to offer with, you know, his basketball knowledge, the experiences he's been through. So I wouldn't be surprised if at some point he, you know, whether it's in the front office or a team ambassador, like I would not be surprised at some point if you see him, you know, it could be with the Heat, you know, obviously his number's retired here, people love him here, or it could be with another team, but I think eventually he will do something like that, whether it's next year or in 2 or 3 years. I think he would like to. And I'm sure he'll get that opportunity, you know, once he makes it clear that he's interested.
I want to talk a little bit about what the next 8 games for Miami, because obviously this dropping the Magic game hurt, but it doesn't mean that the Heat are out of it. It just, you know, makes the road to the playoffs tougher. But what was sort of the feeling around the team? Obviously, again, disappointed that you lose to the Magic, but are they every time, like, you know, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, they're still talking about this playoff push. They're confident that they're going to make the playoffs. Do you feel like that's wavering at all right now?
No. I just think this team always feels like they're going to bounce back. Just because of everything this team has been through, like, they're always like, no, we always bounce back. Like, we'll be fine.
Does it get to a point, though, where they're like, we always bounce back, and then well, we didn't? Yeah.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. Like, but that's just their mentality.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they're in it. Like you said, like, they're half a game out of eighth.
Yeah.
A game and a half out of six. Like, they're right there. But they're also confident. They're only a game out of 10th. So they really could finish anywhere from 10th to 6th, and I wouldn't be surprised. But it's not going to be easy, and they don't have the tiebreaker on pretty much every team they're competing with,
right,
which is a big disadvantage. Like, they lost a tiebreaker against Orlando last night when Orlando took the season series 3-1. They already don't have the tiebreaker over Charlotte because Charlotte has the better division record. Detroit, the tiebreaker isn't clinched yet for the Pistons, but it's only a matter of time. They have a much better conference record than the Heat. So the Pistons are going to get that tiebreaker too. Really, the only tiebreaker that he could get is with Brooklyn. And that's only if the Heat beat Brooklyn in the final game of the regular season to win the season series. So pretty much the Heat is going to have to finish ahead of these teams to make the playoffs because a tie is not going to do it. And that's significant because this race is so close and it could come down to a tie. Just like 2 years ago when the Heat missed the playoffs because the Bulls had the head-to-head tiebreaker over them. And that could happen again.
It does sort of feel like that, right?
Yeah.
Because that was the same year where they finished the season 30-11, right? And so
right. They
haven't gone on quite that kind of run, but they've been much better in the second half this year than they have the first half, too. I don't know. How much does the playoffs really mean? Like, I know that it means a lot to the team. Like, they want to make the playoffs, obviously. But is it, like, in the grand scheme of things, does it matter to just sort of be the team that loses to the Milwaukee Bucks in the first round?
I think it matters because, I mean, you saw what happened with Justice last season. That playoff run where that was his best basketball in his career up to that point.
Yeah, that's true.
It showed us all something. You know, he was in a point guard role. He looked really comfortable in it. And coming into this year, yeah, it took him a couple months to get going, but I really think that playoff run helped catapult him to what he's doing, you know, this season. So I think you want to get the young guys that experience. Now that you're in this position, there's no reason not to make the playoffs now. Like, tanking is long gone. Like, that's not going to happen. The Heat just is too late for that. Like, you want to get in the playoffs for the young guys. Get them that experience. It's a different level of basketball, and it can only help when it might be quick. It might be four or five games or maybe six, but it's still meaningful. We saw with Justice last year and how it helped him. And the Dwayne Wade factor, like, it'd be kind of cool to watch Dwayne Wade in one more playoff series. Last year when he had, they lost to Philly, but he had that one game in Philadelphia where he basically carried the Heat to a win. As we've seen this season, he still has that in him in certain stretches. So I think for those reasons, I think, a playoff appearance would be, you know, would be somewhat meaningful for this organization.
I've already started thinking about flying out again if the Heat make the playoffs, just because it would be Dwayne Wade's last playoff series. I feel like that's a thing that I should probably see. That's not a thing I would want to miss.
Isn't it only fitting that his career ends in the playoffs? You know, after everything he's kind of accomplished here with the Heat, like, it shouldn't end in Brooklyn.
It needs to
end in the playoffs, and I think. And even the players will say, like, that's part of their motivation. You know, it's not the only thing, obviously, but they want to – yeah, they're not going to win the championship, most likely, but they want to kind of get Dwayne back on that playoff stage and see what can happen. Like, that's where it seems fitting. That's where it seems fitting for it to end for Dwayne.
Well, that seems like a fitting end for the podcast, too. So thank you, Anthony Chang. Miami Herald, read his work over there. Appreciate you taking the time, Anthony.
No problem. Anytime. Thanks, Wes.
Thanks for listening. And remember, you could subscribe to this show on the new Himalaya podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Heat. Send us your Chris Bosh questions or favorite memories for our Big Bosh mailbag on Friday. You can connect with us on Twitter at Locked On Heat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. Thanks for spending some time with us today. We'll catch you next time.
I just had this vision, and just one more time, what I'm going to do is scream at you, and I want you to scream right back at me one more time just to give some old memories. Is that cool?
Come on!